Hey, everyone, it's Friday, and that means it's time for the Friday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast, and today in the studio, we have on realty expert John Brodeen, and he'll be with us right after this.
Real estate can feel a lot like this, but you should expect more when you're buying or selling a home. You should feel taken care of by someone who can turn jitters into awe. Someone with the tools and knowledge to help you find the one. Or sell yours.
We'll take it.
Someone who can make real estate feel less like that and more like this. That's Home Services. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Friday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast, and I'm joined by, I'll do it my way this time. Welcome, John Brodeen. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Doing fine. Yes, likewise. It's Friday, weekend ahead. Big weekend plans?
Let's see. We had a full weekend last weekend. I don't know what we've got. You know, my wife is kind of the master planner for this sort of thing, so I need to get with her and see what's going on. I wouldn't mind a weekend where we don't have anything we have to do, but we'll see.
Isn't it nice when you just kind of accidentally stumble upon those? All right, what's on the...
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing to do. Just hang out.
This is watch TV and chill.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, gosh. Oh, it's great. They're rare. They're rare for me anyways, but you just never know. But I guess, you know, for today's topic, though, there's all kinds of things I want to know about when it comes to buying a fixer-upper versus being move-in ready.
For sure. So there's a ton of people that want to buy a fixer-upper or they're open to a fixer-upper. I don't know if HGTV helped inspire this for people watching, you know, those shows where everything goes smoothly. But so some things that you might not know about buying a fixer-upper. You do need a lot more cash in the bank. So when you buy a property, you're going to have closing costs. You're going to have your down payment. It's a big chunk of cash. So you're going to have to put that out just to buy the property. And then you're going to need plenty more cash in the bank if you're going to fix it up, because that all that's going to be out of your pocket. So that's important to know. If you barely have enough cash for your down payment and closing costs, I wouldn't take on a fixer-upper. I would buy something that's move-in ready, because imagine you buy a fixer-upper for $200,000 compared to buying a that's maybe going to be worth $250,000 once it's all said and done. That's like, you know, let's say you're putting $40,000 into it, so you're assuming you're going to make a profit on that money you spend, but you got $40,000 out of pocket on top of your down payment and closing costs that you got to have ready to go. Whereas if you buy just a $250,000 move-in ready house, you just need the down payment on that $250,000 and you move into it, and then you hopefully don't have to do anything. So if you're worried about the cash out of pocket, which a lot of first-time homebuyers especially are, move-in ready is probably a better option. Also, if you're worried about the convenience, maybe you work a lot, you got a family or something, having your home be a construction zone, it's going to be a construction zone for a while. You know, are you ready for that? Is that what you really want as you're moving into your new home, or do you want to just be able to move into it and live in it as is and not have to worry about construction projects going on around you? So those are some important things. A lot of people overestimate how much they can do, how much they can DIY. There's certain things.
How much of a handyman are you?
Yeah, how much of a handyman are you? Like, I would suggest if you're not highly skilled with this stuff, hire out professionals, because I've seen so many DIY jobs where people don't have any skills and they don't have enough patience to get it done right. Maybe they don't have the right tools for the job. They don't want to get the right tools for the job. Hire it out. But if you do have those skills and you maybe have a construction background or something like that, you can save a lot of money on labor by doing it yourself. The question then is, outside of your day job, do you have enough time to invest into getting this stuff done?
Because time and resources, going out to get parts.
Yes, I've seen a lot of arguments between spouses where you know, whoever's doing the work is taking months and months and months. And like, I've seen houses where they bought it 2 years ago, and there's still not a trim piece on this flooring where it transitions into the hallway from the bathroom, and there's still not a casing on the door or whatever, you know, trim around the door.
It could turn into being one of those, oh, next weekend project.
Yeah, and there's nothing to make your wife mad, like just neglecting to finish up those small little things. Yeah. So
they add up.
Yeah, do you have enough time to commit to fully getting the job done? Yeah, so if you're DIYing, you have a better chance of making it profitable if you have enough time to invest. So, but if you don't have the skills, hire a professional, because I've seen DIY jobs go so bad that it's like, well, somebody's basically just going to have to start over because you screwed it up so bad. And that's almost going to make the house worth less than when you started this project, because now you got to rip out all this new stuff you did. You lost money on all the materials you bought. You know, there's some things that if some people can learn fast, but YouTube might not teach you enough to do some like skilled stuff like finished carpentry or, you know, doing tile the right way or whatever. I've seen it a million times.
I use YouTube for some small things like replacing a headlight bulb. I did that like just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. But when it comes to like home improvement projects, I'm like, no, my dad is a big time. What you're describing for big home improvement, do-it-yourselfer. He comes up with all these. I'm like, hey, Dad, what project you got going on now? I'm trying to make the smallest bathroom possible.
Yeah.
He has the smallest bathrooms. I can only imagine you ran into all kinds of those scenarios.
Yeah, yeah. Like some things that I see commonly screwed up, people do a really bad job of installing flooring because they just don't do it right. Tile work, you see that really bad sometimes where one tile is sticking up off the floor this much more than the next tile. The lines aren't straight at all. They don't do, it's like the edges where you can always see where somebody doesn't know what they're doing because they don't put the trim pieces on right. The things don't line up. Like this stuff just, it might look okay in photos, but it's when you get in there in person, you're going to see that corners have been cut hypothetically and literally.
Oh, no.
So, so you don't want that. That's going to hurt you a little bit.
Especially when it comes probably to reselling time.
Yeah, when that's exactly when you're going to, that's when it's going to cause you problems too. Probably that's when it's going to cause you the most problems. So the other thing is you want to avoid at all costs having to sell a home that's halfway fixed up. So half the house is completely outdated and in the 70s. One room is brand new, updated, looks like 2024. The next room looks like 1975. The next room looks like 2024. The next room looks like 1980. When you're investing that much money into fixing up a home, it only is going to have the potential to make you money and be profitable with what the money you spent is if it's an entirely finished product. If it's a half finished product, then the next person's still buying a fixer upper, you know? So
do you run into situations where the person's like, oh, I got to move. I'm a home improvement person, but I'm only halfway there. This is what we got to work with.
I have had it, and it's a surefire way to lose money and basically have your money that you put into the house go down the drain. Buyers, they're not going to pay that much more for a house where a couple of the projects have been done and then there's four projects that still need to be done. Projects still need to be done, period. That's what they care about. So I would avoid that at all costs. That can come down to doing it yourself and not having enough time to finish things. It could come down to running out of money. So that's why you want to be prepared before you dive into this to make sure you avoid catastrophe like that. You really want to be realistic about estimating costs too. Maybe you're thinking you're going to be able to do everything yourself, but once you get into it, you realize you can't. Maybe you think everything's going to be cheaper than it is, and it's not. So things to be wary of here is bigger isn't always better. Smaller homes are easier and cheaper to rehab. Functional layouts, very important. If you're talking about changing the layout, and it's a unique house and it's not very functional, but you've got some master plan for it, you're talking about a massive expense to do this.
And all much kinds more of wiring and running into all kinds of things they probably did not imagine going into it.
Yeah. The older the home is, the more likely you are to find really bad surprises that are going to cost you a lot of money. So small, boring, functional, practical, and something that needs a little bit of a cosmetic facelift is going to be a much better way to dip your toe into the waters of buying a fixer-upper than buying a 120-year-old 4,000-square-foot home that needs new siding, new roof, new windows, an entirely new layout. You know, you're talking about this could be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to rehab that. So you need more cash in the bank. You need way more time. You need way more skills. That's really jumping in the deep end.
Sounds like you may want that maybe like a lifetime home improvement like retirement project almost.
Yes. Yep. Or if you've just got a super big bank account.
Yes.
And you're willing to just buy that house on Reeves that is completely outdated and make it into a modern masterpiece, and you don't care how much it costs because you got tons of money, you know?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. You got to be set.
But inexperienced people really do underestimate how hard it's going to be and how costly it's going to be to do these things. So that's what I want to, help them avoid making a mistake. So if you are going to do a fixer-upper route and you're a beginner to this and you've got some money to put into it, but not hundreds of thousands or something, start with something small, practical, functional, and then neighborhood is going to be really important. That's probably the most important thing. This is where you're going to lean on your realtor a lot. The neighborhood that you buy in is really going to determine the potential of what it's going to be worth when it's all fixed up. Because a fixed up, perfectly move-in ready, it basically looks like a brand new home in neighborhood A could go for $150-some a foot. And the same exact house in neighborhood B, the maximum it could go for might be $120 a foot. And now when you're talking about thousands of square feet, this is, you know, could be, I don't know the math off the top of my head, not that smart with math, but
that's my kryptonite as well.
But you could be talking about $100,000 difference in sale price, right?
It sounds like it's kind of going hand in hand with what we're kind of talking about Wednesday with kind of like the surrounding residences.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's going to be so important, especially if you plan on investing that money, because you're not going to live in a construction zone, have a house that isn't very nice to begin with in hopes of making it really nice. You're only going to take on that hassle for a potential profit. Obviously, it's nice to be able to design everything and have it be the way you want it to be. And if money's no object and you just want exactly what you want, it's still wise to think about the financial side of things, because you don't want to lose like a ton of money on it if you're going to go that route of massive renovations and stuff.
Well, I guess, and you never know when stuff will happen in life. When me all of a sudden new job or whatever life circumstance where I got to move. It's time to sell.
Yep. And I'm not trying to talk people out of doing the fixer upper thing. The people who should really consider it are, as long as you have enough money, even if you're going to DIY everything, you're highly skilled, you can do everything yourself, and you have enough time to do it, you still need the money for the materials, right? But if you've got enough money, you've got the skills, or you've got even more money and you're going to hire it out, and you are pretty knowledgeable and you're leaning on your realtor's advice and you're not going too crazy, it's not a bad idea. And there is a potential to, you know, buy something for 170 grand and put 40 grand into it. Maybe it's worth 250, but there's also the potential that you buy something for 170 grand. And if you buy wrong and you put 100 grand into it and it's only worth 240, you know, so lean on your expert's advice. Make sure you hire a good realtor who's going to be able to give you this advice. If they just tell you that every house you look at, oh yeah, you're going to make a fortune on this house, it's going to be great, they probably don't know what they're talking about. So a good sign of a realtor that really knows their stuff when it comes to this is a realtor who's going to tell you, hey, this one, I don't see this working out.
Have you ever had it come down to where potential clients where, no, I think this is going to be, I think I could do this, I think I could fix this up. If they're all about it, do you have like resources to send them to, all right, this is your place to go to for this, X, Y, Z?
Yeah, I do. And I do remember one particular instance where I kind of talked people out of buying this. It was like I said, it was an older home. It was like 120 years old. It was giant. You know, it was like 3,000 square feet. It needed all new everything. The exterior hadn't been properly maintained. You know, it needed new windows, siding, roof, everything on the inside. They were also talking about doing, they were talking about changing the layout, kind of some of these things that I was telling you. And they didn't have a massive budget to work with, and they were definitely overestimating how far their money was going to go with this rehab. And it was between that option and then a newer home that had been foreclosed on, where it was ugly because the people didn't take good care of it. So just things were worn out, but it would have been as simple as carpet, paint, maybe some new appliances and just some TLC, and it would have been good to go. They ended up going with that option instead, and they've come out great on it. But had they bought that older giant home that needed a ton of work, they would have probably been left in that situation where they got 25% of the way through it and couldn't do any more, and they'd probably still be underwater.
Would have been in the hurt bucket.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
So oh gosh.
I don't like having to do it, but I will try to talk people out of something. And just, it's not a matter of me pushing them one direction or the other. It's just trying to make sure that they're aware of exactly what the realistic picture of what they're getting themselves into.
Give them the reality check that they really need.
And it's not that I don't like, I work with home flippers all the time. So I have a lot of experience saying, okay, this has some real potential. You could put this much into it and it could potentially be worth this much. I've helped many flippers where I help them buy the home. And then when they're done fixing it up, I help them sell the home. So I see this where it does work out in a positive way over and over, like multiple times a year. But I can tell a good one from a bad one at this point.
And you know, it's like you said, you got the years and years of experience, and mm-hmm. they call you the realty experts for a reason at Berkshire Hathaway.
Yep, you know it. So,
gosh, well, I've learned a ton about this, about buying a fixer-upper, being move-in ready. John, what's the best way for people who want to know more about this to reach out and contact you?
Yeah, so my cell phone number is 701-213-5428. I make videos about this stuff sometimes on my social channels, so check me out there. Follow me, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Follow, subscribe to me on YouTube. But yeah, that's, if someone wants to have a conversation about this sort of thing and they're looking at doing this sort of thing, definitely like send me a text, give me a phone call. We can talk about it and I can give you some advice.
All kinds of way to reach out and contact you.
Yep.
John, thank you so much for joining me this week. It's been a blast coming back here. It's been a while. This wraps up your Friday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast. Many thanks to John Brodeen for being in the studio today, and many thanks to producer Paul. We will be back for the next Berkshire Hathaway podcast this coming Wednesday at 10 a.m. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody.